GNC586. It's Tuesday, June 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Here I'm back in Honolulu. I'm really glad to be home, and it's beautiful here. It's early evening. Got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're GoFly.
Microphone.
We're GoFly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
GoFly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, then I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. More importantly, you want to get signed up and subscribe to the podcast. You can do that via the links on the second column of the website. You'll see a little link there for Zune or for iTunes or an RSS feed. Hey, get subscribed to the feed. That way you will never miss a single episode of the show. While you're at it, sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about in tonight's show. And of course, it's going to include content that's been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. And of course, if you have comments or content that you want to submit to the show, you can do that by sending me an email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or calling the voicemail hotline, show hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at area code 619-342-7365. We play all the audio comments and read all of the emails that are submitted to the show at the end of the show, so hope you'll hang out for that. Got a number of audio comments tonight that were actually sent via email, and of course a number of actual comments that were actually written up as regular emails that were dropped in the inbox. So got a lot of stuff to cover tonight, a lot of tech content. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are long-time subscribers of the show, those of you that are part of the family here. And I'm going to introduce a new term for all of you, just because I really like this term. It's called Akamai. And not Akamai, the content delivery network, but in Hawaii, we have this... this term called Akamai basically means like for those of you that are very well in tuned to what's going on. So those of you that are Akamai, those of you that are listening to the show and are up to speed here, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to our Akamai listeners that are part of our Ohana. Of course, I want to welcome listeners and viewers from 165 countries worldwide. I know we got some folks up on Ustream tonight. Those of you that are on Ustream watching, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging out with me here this evening. And just double checking to make sure we're getting a good downstream going. I would appreciate it. Make sure that's all running good. So lots of stuff going on. I got back from Rochester Saturday evening and basically kind of just took it easy around here. And Sunday, of course, was Father's Day. And what did I do on my Father's Day? Paid bills, did yard work, cleaned the koi pond, barbecued. Typical father's work day. did take some time just to kind of kick back and hang with the kids and the family. It was good. So it was a great Sunday. And then today's been wonderful. Weather here in Honolulu has been very, very nice. Trade winds are kicking. So haven't had a need to close the house up and turn on any AC, which has been nice. Of course, those of you watching the show on the Roku or on Boxy, hey, thanks for watching there. And it's great to be back in the studio and have, the full pro gear up and be able to record the show in high def and being able to do everything I want to, basically put how I'm going to put the show together and get it back in the format instead of on webcams. Someone on the Ustream chat said, hey, it's not Tuesday in Hawaii. No. It's what it is. This show is released very, very early Tuesday morning, and so that is why we always say it's Tuesday, because where everyone else is watching in the world, except for here in Honolulu, it is Tuesday already. So if you're watching from the East Coast or even Pacific Standard Time, it's very close to Tuesday, or already is. Hey, let me talk just a little bit about the Rochester meetup. Had a great meeting, a great dinner with Sal and Todd. And, you know, Sal's been a longtime listener of the show. So is Todd. And you never quite know, you know, everyone knows me when they come to the meetups, but yet they don't, I don't know them. So I had a great chance to get to know Sal and Todd real good. And we had a great barbecue dinner at Dinosaurs in downtown Rochester. Perfect place for a meetup. And so we had a lot of fun. And I think Todd sent a voicemail, so we'll be playing that at the end of the show on basically what he got out of the meeting up with me, part of the Ohana, of course. So look forward to sharing that with you as well. Hey, the contest is still going on for live.geeknewscentral.com, the page that we're going to put up there. As you guys know, right now there's a live page at geeknewscentral.com/live, but I've gotten a couple of submissions over the weekend for the new mock-up page of what we're going to basically put in place once the new template or the design is actually picked by me for the submissions that are coming in. So what I may do here is I think I'm going to wrap up the live.geeknewscentral contest, which is a $250 award to whoever's design I picked. We're going to roll that until, I think we're going to do that on Friday's show, announce the winner for that. So you've got just a few more days. If you need more time and you've got one coming to me, you need to email me immediately and let me know that, hey, Todd, I still have it coming to you. Can you hold up a few days? I'd be happy to do that if you've got a design coming. Otherwise, we're going to award that on Friday. Of course, if you are a first-time user of GoToMeeting, that free trial where I'm going to pay for 90 days of your subscription to GoToMeeting, I need your inputs this week because we're going to give away that free trial a week from tonight. So it'll be on the Tuesday show on June 29th is when we'll actually give away the three-month free GoToMeeting package. Or actually, I'm going to pay for your subscription for 3 months. So if you're doing that trial and you've been using it here for the last couple of weeks, send me an email and let me know what you think about the trial thus far, and we'll get you hooked up. I'm looking for a little bit of input. One thing I've always done from time to time is I've made subtle changes to the show, and we're here at show number 586. So we're only 14 shows away from the 600 mark. And what I would like to do is over the next month to 6 weeks is I would like to get input from the audience. If you had one thing that you would change here at Geek News Central, what would that be? And so I'm taking some inputs from all of you over the next, again, 4 to 6 weeks. If there's one thing you would change here on the show, what would that be? And your reasoning for it and how you would change it. So I'm looking for your feedback. And the best idea out of that stack, I'll have a special prize for on show 600. So again, what's one thing you would change here at Geek News Central? And if it's good enough, then we'll make the switch. And we'll pick one idea. So get your thinking caps on. You've got some time on this, and we'll get that out. Hey, how are you guys liking Trucker Tom's articles on Geek News Central? Of course, he's put up, I think, 3 articles already. We want to welcome Trucker Tom to the family at Geek News Central for actually posting blog posts. So Tom is, of course, going to be looking for feedback on his posting there. And so if you guys are getting stuff out of the articles, please you know, send him a comment and let me know what you think of his writing and give it, you know, basically comment on his blog post. And we had some good articles up and getting some good traffic, so I think that he's hitting a resonant chord with the audience. Website at Geek News Central has been upgraded to WordPress 3.0. That's went up smoothly. I was talking with Angelo this morning about the PowerPress plugin that we have, if we've got any bug reports. I guess there was one minor one that someone found, so he's going to be pushing an update to PowerPress, I think, tomorrow or maybe the next day. Not a real critical issue, but it's just one of those things. It was kind of an obscure. It's really not even a bug. It's a It still can, there's really, it's not affected. You just have to go to a different menu item to find the, to place and make a setting change in the category casting. And so he's going to get that fixed up so it's a little easier for those that are actually using the category function within PowerPress. But so far, everything's been going good with the 3.0 update integration with the PowerPress. And we've actually got some cool stuff planned for the, basically the 2.0 release of PowerPress, which actually is in work at the same time. But he's going to do kind of a little intermediate update to the plugin here shortly, which doesn't affect many of you that are listening to the show, but unless you're a podcaster, but thought I'd put that out there. All right, let me look at my show notes here and see what I've got. Of course, warm welcome to the Ohana and the listeners from 165 countries worldwide. And again, make sure you subscribe to the show. Hey, become an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. The next Insider Chronicle was going to be put out by me here this week. So looking forward to adding some folks to the insider list and also supporting those that are insiders. I actually got an email tonight also from one of the listeners of the show, and I think we've got a lead on an Android developer that's going to be doing an Android app for the show. So I'll be getting some feedback with him tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a follow-on show. Going to try to have that Android app mimic what Tom is doing for the iPhone app. He's working on that this week. He's promising me an update to my iPhone. He asked for the UID number, so he's about ready to send it to me so I can actually do some reviews. Probably what I'm going to do is if four or five of you want to be on the beta test for the Geek New Central iPhone app, drop me an email and send me your UUID number, and we'll put four or five of you up on beta test, and you're really going to get early access to the app as we go through the testing process. So I'll open it up to a few of the listeners of the show for the actual testing period, but look forward to potentially getting an Android app up as well here in the near future. Check out our offers page at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Of course, our sponsors here, GoDaddy and GoToMeeting. I've got some individual pages for GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy as well. If you're looking for a cool wear, make sure you check out the Ohana wear at cafepress.com/Ohana store, cafepress.com/Ohana store. If you guys are seeing, I'm actually wearing my GoDaddy shirt tonight. It's behind the mic, so you really can't see the thing, but you can see a little bit of the head. So, okay, let's talk just a little bit here about sponsor of the show. You guys know that we've had a couple of new sponsors come on from time to time, and we're right now working with the folks over at Matrix Direct, and I'm really impressed with their service. I'm getting some feedback from some of you that are in the audience. They're talking about pricing that you've actually priced out over there on their term life insurance. And so far, everyone's pretty ecstatic about the pricing. As a matter of fact, I got one of the listeners of the show sent me an email and said that he really saved about 60% over what he was currently paying for about a $400,000 term life insurance policy. And because it was term, he really didn't have anything really super vested with the other company. He was able to switch over to them and is saving a bunch of money. So check out matrixdirect.com/podcast and check out their terms and what they have available. Some of the offers that are available are not available in all states, and there's some restrictions apply. Just, you know, read that information, disclaimer on the website. But thanks for Matrix Direct for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And you check them out again at matrixdirect.com/podcast, or you can check the link on the website at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, GoDaddy, longtime sponsor here of the show as well. And we actually had an email from one of the listeners of the show who had a problem using a couple of the codes over the weekend. And I sent that off to my contact at GoDaddy and said, okay, what's up? Well, how come the listener couldn't use these two codes? And what we really determined was, you know, I have such a wide breadth of GoDaddy codes that sometimes a code will work and sometimes a code won't. It all depends on what the offer is and if you're already getting a discount. I know that you were able to save some money But they're going to look into it a little deeper and see exactly why that specific code wouldn't work. So that's why when you're over at GoDaddy and you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, it's important for you to run through my code stack and find out which code really is going to give you the best savings. Of course, if you use Geek5, that's going to save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account, but it has to be 1 year. It only works on a one-year subscription. Todd will save you 10% on most non-domain orders. ComSale will get you .coms at $7.49 for 9 more days, and then the price goes up. So, and again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is where the codes are at. Thanks to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And for those of you that are picking up products and services with GoDaddy, muchas gracias. I thank you very much for doing that. And I hope that you guys will continue to support GoDaddy as well. And I also got an email from one of our listeners in Israel. And we'll talk about some issues he'd had with actually an account on GoDaddy. So we cover the good and the bad, and he's basically having problems with PHP file. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show, and I'll give him some tips, and I'll actually forward it over to my contact over there, see if we can get some extra help. Because, hey, I got the contact at GoDaddy, so if someone's having an issue, might as well send it to the top of the flagpole over there, and that's what we'll do. So again, matrixdirect.com/podcast, or I'll use any of my promo codes over at GoDaddy.com. Okay, got a lot of content for you tonight, and we're going to be starting the, as a reminder, the Lenovo ThinkCenter A63 computer giveaway in just about a week. So I think we're actually slated to start. I'll be actually starting the contest on the July 2nd show. So that'll actually be the Friday show. So you'll want to really tune in and figure out how you're going to get a chance to win. Now, you're going to have to act fast. If you don't listen to the show until Monday, you're going to be too late. So this is a reminder. If you want to have a chance to win this ThinkCenter A63 computer and the two monitors that come with it and the software and everything else, you're going to have to listen to the show right away on July 2nd over that 4th of July weekend, because the night of the 5th, I'm gonna give the prize away. So just be aware of that, okay? All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight. I got a stack here. I'm already running way long on just these regular comments. And I got a good Japan. We got a great stuff tonight. Really did. An article out of the Los Angeles LA Times. Let's see if I can actually put this up on the Ustream stream. And drop this over here, paste and go, make that external, and do that. What the LA Times is reporting is through a change in its privacy policy with Apple and iPhone users, Apple is now collecting and sharing iPhone users' precise locations. In an updated version of its privacy policy, the company added a paragraph noting that once users agree, Apple and, get this, unspecified partners and licensees may collect and store user location data. When users attempt to download apps or media from the iTunes Store, they are prompted to agree to new terms and conditions. Until they agree, they cannot download anything through the store. And this actually popped up to me a couple of days ago. The company says the data is anonymous and does not personally identify users, but analysts are saying that large specific data sets can be used to identify people based on behavior patterns. Does this bother you guys as much as it bothers me? So as soon as you tell an app that you allow them to track your location, then this data is going to be used by Apple and collecting it and sharing it with partner companies. Even though they say it's going to be anonymous usage patterns, I don't believe it, you know, and having them watching us, you know, this is, you know, just as bad as some of the stuff Google's doing. And we truly are moving into an era where Big Brother is following us, or, you know, I'm going to assume Big Brother can be following us, just because we've opted in on some privacy policy. So if you deny, if you say, no, I'm not going to agree to the privacy policy, you can't download any more apps out of the Apple App Store. So what do you guys think? Do you like this, like the ability for them to be tracking you with real-time geographic location information and essentially seeing what you're doing with that data being collected? It makes me a little bit nervous. And are you guys comfortable with it? Do you even care? I don't know. For me, it makes me go just a little bit. All right. Those of you who live in California, I'm sorry. If you're living in California, the legislature's over there is thinking about making your license plates go electronic. You know, there's a serious revenue shortage in California right now. So the legislature in Sacramento is considering basically going to electronic license plates, which when you stop your vehicle for more than 4 seconds, the license plates would change and provide some sort of an advertisement. So everyone's cars will be a rolling billboard. So I can just imagine this. You know, you're stopped at a stoplight, you're waiting for it to turn green, and the guy behind you sees some sort of advertisement for adult material or something that doesn't politically agree with him, and now you're going to have this new form of road rage based upon advertisements being served from your license plate. They're saying that as well, the plates in an emergency could be used to broadcast Amber Alerts or traffic information. Oh, my goodness. The bill's author, Democrat Senator Karen Price of L.A., said California would be the first state to implement such technology if the State Department of Motor Vehicle ultimately recommends the widespread use of plates. He said other states are exploring something similar. And interested advertisers would contract directly with DMV, thus opening a new revenue stream for the state. Oh, my goodness. And I'm sure you're going to have to provide batteries for that or power to those plates. How insane, how really insane is this? I'm sure that people are going to have fun, and we're going to start seeing people doing mock-up of plates and what they may say. Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. It really, really is. And I found that article over at mercurynews.com. Here we're on Engadget. They're talking about the Sling Player Mobile for Android. It's going to be available tomorrow for you. $30. That's what it's going to cost you. So if you've got a Sling box at home and you want to be able to play your TV programming on your Android, $30 is what it's going to cost you to download that app. So I guess the beta is wrapped up. And they're ready to roll this out tomorrow. So I don't have an Android. If you've got a Sling Player, let me know. I'd love to hear how this thing works. I just don't see watching TV, live TV on my cell phone. You know, like they do in Japan. It's big, but I don't know. All right, let's talk. Of course, today, those of you that have either a 3G or 3GS were able to upgrade your iPhone to iOS 4. And I think many of you that have a 3G are probably going to be disappointed with the upgrade because they're really limiting the amount of stuff you're going to be able to do with your 3G versus 3GS with the iOS 4 upgrade. One of the things you're not going to get is you're not getting backgrounds. That's not happening. And basically, say your phone is not capable of displaying backgrounds, which is funny. You're not, for 3G users, you're not going to get multitasking. You're not going to get, the home screen wallpaper. You're not going to get Bluetooth keyboard support. But what you are going to get, and this is going to be for everybody as well, you're going to get folders, threaded mail, iTunes playlist creation and editing, 5x digital zoom on the camera, iBooks, Game Center. It's a new icon that's going to be present that... going to be able to connect to some sort of game servers that they're making available. Spell check has been updated. and Spotlight Search has been improved. So anyway, love to hear you guys' feedback on that. One of the writers at Geek News Central already did his review on iOS 4, and I'll be updating at some point here in the next couple of days, and I'll let you guys know what I think as well. Love to hear you guys' feedback and experiences with the new version. I know that I went and actually checked to see if my phone was available for an upgrade, and AT&T won't even tell me. I've got this phone is actually on a business account, and there was nowhere in the business system to actually check and see if a phone was eligible, so I got to get on the phone. And I know that they've got orders suspended at this time, but I know many of you have gotten your orders in for your version 4 of the phone. Of course, the app reviews have already started, and multitasking is the name of the game. Dropbox is a multitasker, Evernote, Pandora, New York Times, ESPN Score Center, How to Cook Everything. I don't know why that would be such an important multitasking app. Fandango is available as a multitasking app, and LinkedIn. There's also some apps out there that have been tested but appear to not be working completely with some of the 3GS phones. So there's a good article here, good write-up on this. I'll have this linked up to you in the show notes. You can check it out. A lot of these apps are pretty popular ones that I'm sure many of you are using. Hey, big news out of Amazon today. Amazon, man, they have went to battle stations, and they have reduced the price of the 6-inch Kindle to $189. This is basically in competition to some other, essentially there was the Nook was going to be released at basically the same price. So the Barnes & Noble has, they came out swinging and being aggressive on pricing for the 3G version of the Nook. And so Kindle is now $10 cheaper than the $199 3G. Now the Wi-Fi only version, excuse me, I'm yawning, jet lag yet. The Wi-Fi version of the Nook is still only $149. But this is a big change, a big pricing. And, you know, Kindles, they're serious about maintaining aggressive pricing. And, I got asked by a guy in the airplane. He says, which one's better? Should I get a Sony? Should I have a Nook? Should I have a Kindle? My sister asked me the same question. Which one should I get? And, you know, I've only got experience with the Kindle. And I shared that with her. And is anyone in the audience, have you guys had multiple ebook readers? If you have, I really would like some feedback, at least to give my sister, which device you like the best. Now, my reasoning was this in telling her to get a Kindle, was that the book prices are cheap. I think they're still subsidizing the prices of the books. A very large selection of ebooks available. You can manage it. You can share it amongst different Kindles. But I really don't know the benefits of the Nook. I also talked to her about exploring libraries. Many libraries allow you to check out books now where they, you know, basically you can have them for a couple of weeks and they expire and are deleted. So, you know, if you guys got any detailed insight on this, love to get schooled up. And I'm going to do a little bit of research on my own as well. But love to hear you guys' feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, one thing I bought just before I went on this last trip was a HyperMac charger. And I got turned on to HyperMac out at CES 2010. I was really impressed with their lineup of gear. And the HyperMac that I bought is capable of not only recharging my MacBook Pro, but also at the same time I can have it plugged into my iPad or my iPhone, and having it charge that. One thing that was pretty cool was I wanted to see how many charges I could get out of the HyperMac while I was gone. And I didn't really even use it to charge my MacBook. I just used it to recharge my iPad, my iPhone. So the entire 2 weeks I was gone, I had, the HyperMac that I bought was, I don't know what version I had. I'll get the version number for you. But it still got plenty of juice. I mean, I was able to charge for 2 weeks, recharge all my devices on this single battery pack, and never plug the device into an outlet the entire time. And really only took the HyperMac battery down, I think, just maybe a bar or two. So I was blown away. I really, really was about the, you know, the availability of, if you go somewhere remote, you go camping someplace and you don't have a generator and you need to recharge your cell phone or recharge your netbook or something, HyperMac is the way to go. It really worked well. So if you're living, if you're going camping someplace remote and you still have access to, you know, 3G service or whatever, this is really, it's a great product. So you check it out at hypershop.com. They got a variety of different products. I make no money off them. They're not a sponsor of the show. I'm just telling you my personal experience with them. And they got multiple colors for, you know, I just got the silver one, but, you know, they've got a red, orange, blue, green, black, and a variety of different colors. Some that will appeal to the ladies. And of course, they've got a good video demo on the front page, hypershop.com. Check them out. Not inexpensive, but boy, oh boy, again, 2 weeks worth of charges and it still had plenty of juice to go. Those of you that bought a iPad before the June 7th deadline, being reported by Engadget that even though the option is no longer on the AT&T store, you're going to be able to still get the unlimited data option. Now, there's not a lot of details yet here on how you're going to be able to do that. So if you're still waiting for your iPad 3G to be delivered that you ordered on June 7th. Now, what I'm hearing is that folks that ordered on June 6th and June 7th, those orders are now shipping. I've had some reports back from some of the audience members saying, hey, Todd, I ordered on June 6th. And I got a notification from Apple that my iPad is shipping, and I hope to have it in a few days. So the unlimited data option is still going to be available if you got in before that midnight Eastern time or whatever it was on June 7th. So I'll try to find out what the process is. And it may even recall you picking up the phone and calling AT&T to make sure that you get your eligibility and don't get stuck into the 2-gig plan. So how many of you did that? How many of you ordered an iPad 3G before the deadline? You guys remember my rant. You know, I went off and basically said, no, I'll just buy my lovely wife the Wi-Fi device and buy her a Mi-Fi to go along with it. Dual purpose, you know, only paying for one connection, but, you know, the Mi-Fi we can use multiple ways. And so how many of you really ordered a 3G? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. Email me. Let me know if you've got one, if you've been able to go through the process, what the process was, and see what I can find out as well. Hey, over on Switch.com, I had you know, everything's old is new again. The Army is dropping $500 billion on a football field-sized blimp, essentially. And this is all about airtime, about being able to hang on station for many, many hours. And what they're going to be doing is they've contracted with Grumman, Northrop Grumman, to build essentially a football field-sized airship that they're going to be able to put in orbit in battle spaces and be able to just hang up there for many, many hours. And I don't know if it's going to be armed or not, but they say it's going to be what they're calling a long endurance multi-intelligence vehicle, which can carry 2,500 pounds while hovering at 20,000 feet above sea ground at 34 miles per hour. And they don't actually tell how long that this thing is actually going to be able to stay airborne. But, you know, they'll probably put a variety of sensors on there and remote control this thing and just hang out. Doesn't take a lot of gas to drive it around. So your taxpayer dollars at work. Okay, make attention to a couple of articles around Geek News Central. Alan had written an article on why Windows Microsoft needs to make a DVR, talking about Windows Media Center and why they really missed the boat. And I go through and I read contributors' content on Geek News Central, you know, I have to look and say, okay, how does his writing marry up to my thought process? And, you know, every writer at Geek News Central has their own opinion. I don't influence what they write whatsoever. And but I do, it is kind of funny how I say, I agree a little bit with that, or I agree completely with it. On this one with Allen's, I was a little bit surprised that on his take on Google TV. And Allen, not to beat up on you here, but I really think what's going to happen with with Google TV is that you're saying here that you feel it's only going to be like a search enabled device. I really think ultimately what will happen is they will make it so that it'll be very easy for people to get content, have some sort of channel list, because they're not just going to want people to search for content. They're going to want to make it easily available through a menuing system. We'll see what happens with it. And time may tell, and I may be proven wrong, but if Google's going to come out with something where it's going to be made to allow you to access content quickly, it's going to be more than a search device. Now, where this ties in is basically he says that Microsoft has a great opportunity here because of an announcement that was made at Microsoft overshadowing what was called Windows 7 Embedded. And he really thinks that with stuff built into the Windows Media Center, that it'll be a good option, right? They should have a DVR built into this. Now, here's my problem with Windows Media Center. It's very, very hard to develop basically apps or channels to get into Windows Media Center. It's a very controlled atmosphere. It's a very, they've got partners on there. They've got music partners. They've got video partners. So just to be able to get content into Windows Media Center is kind of another walled garden that's hard to work around. Like Yahoo Widgets, there's a way to get in that way. But it'll be curious to see what Microsoft does to try to, you know, match what's happening on with Google TV, potentially with changes coming to Apple TV, Roku, Boxy with their upcoming device release in November, you know, the new that's out there, the Pop Box. All these different devices are going to be competing, but Windows is going to have to open up in order to get make it easier for content creators to get their content into that channel lineup. And I just don't know if they're going to allow that or not, because it's, you know, they have a very tight control on the experience, as does Apple. But his feelings that Microsoft needs to have a DVR built into Windows Media Center makes a lot of sense. I thought at one time there was some sort of a hack or workaround that you could do that, but really couldn't pull that out of instant recall tonight. Another article tonight up in the Geek News Central website is one by Trucker Tom, Venturing into Unknown Territory. Talks about the interview that Steve Jobs did at the 2010 D8 conference. There's a video link on the website to it if you want to check it out. But one thing that Tom took away from the interview was that Steve had said that this phenomena of mobile apps that has really exploded in the past 3 years is something new and something we haven't seen before. And I think we all can agree with that, that 3 years ago, or prior to really the iPhone making the scene, you know, every phone you got had some apps on it, but the functionality of that was limited. And I'm sure many of us really never spent a lot of time in those apps. If we were very frustrated. So I think what we're seeing here is, you know, the Steve Jobs vision really changing the marketplace. And you look at the iPad and what that's bringing with the 700,000 units being moved a month. And while the desktop computer offers a very rich environment, you just can't pick that thing up and carry it with you. I think personally that we have moved very quickly in the mobile category, much faster than I thought we would. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that I would be able to, or a year ago, if you told me 2 years ago that I would be able to go a whole day without loading my laptop, I would have probably looked at you kind of cross-eyed. But I find myself now using my phone a huge amount, much more than I did before as compared to a laptop when I'm on the road. But I'm sure many of your experiences are the same, and some of you have probably completely given up even using a laptop during the day or waiting to get your computer at night. IMAP makes it possible so that you can sync up between different devices on mail, and you don't have to worry about being locked down to a single device. I want to move on to something a little bit more serious here. Boston.com, they put together some great pictorials, and they produced a new big picture series. And let me go ahead and put this up for those of you on Ustream. And it's pictures about oil in the Gulf 2 months later. And it just really shows you the size of the problem we're facing. I want to bring up a image that they had of, it's a down-looking shot. Let me find it for you here. For those of you that are not watching and listening, what they've got is they've got a very large skimmer on the surface of the Gulf of Mexico, and they show it doing skimming operations. And it just shows you in this one picture really how futile the effort is to get all this oil collected. And basically, you've got this ship moving very, very slowly. It's got two skimming booms on the right and the left. And I would say maybe the skimming boom is 25, 30 feet wide on either side. And yet they've got this massive, massive amount of oil around it. And yet after they've even went over the top of the oil, you still see oil trailing behind. It just shows you how hard it is, how hard it's going to be to clean up this mess. And it's not going to get any better, but I think that picture is, you know, you say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and boy, this one really is. It's a picture taken by the AP. I want to give credit where credit's due here. Again, this is over on Boston.com, but the AP photo was taken by Dave Martin, and I think it sums up the task that they have at hand on just a single skimmer out there trying to clean up oil. It's not a pretty situation. It really, really isn't. And it just, you know, continues to be a mess. From the International Space Station, a photo was taken. Pretty cool picture. International Space Station was able to capture the sudden lights zapping across the atmosphere. Pretty cool image. I have this linked up in the show notes for you. It's just, again, a good image that shows you the dynamics of the sun interacting with ice and moisture, and the way the color of green that they got, at least on this image here. And it's pretty cool. So I have it up for you in the show notes. All right, Giga Omaha has an article about Twitter annotations are coming. What do they mean for Twitter and the web? And I got to thinking about this tonight. I was looking at the spec and reading through this. And really, you know, Twitter itself is used by many of you on a daily basis, maybe multiple times a day. I know I check tweets a number of times during the day. And what I think annotations are going to do is annotations are going to allow us to embed metadata. And it basically would be an attribute, you know, in RSS feeds. What really, really kicked things off in the podcasting space was the ability to enclose a media feed as essentially a tag or an attribute within an RSS feed. So imagine me being able to not only have a tweet about, hey, a new show's been posted, but have it built into the attributes, the link to the media, the link to the show notes, maybe a link to a sponsor or two, all this extra little data that could be annotated, which really wouldn't show up in the tweet. But if you are using third-party tools that would actually exploit this, these attributes, you really could do some pretty powerful stuff with this attribution feature. We'll see what it's gonna yield and how they're gonna implement it. The folks at Google, of course, a little bit, they're a little bit waning on this. They're saying that if Twitter doesn't handle the new feature properly, it could end up being a free-for-all for all competing standards and markups. They're talking about using the RDF format a little bit, which is good, which will help. And it's very, RDF is tied very, very closely to RSS. So we'll see what happens with this. But these microformats and being able to embed stuff as metadata within that, is good. And it also brings up a great opportunity for folks that we really hate as the spammers and stuff, because we could end up with a lot of metadata out there that had a lot of links to a lot of junk. So I guess that is one of the dangers. And I don't know how people are going to be able to build, filters. They're going to have to build filters for that stuff. So we'll see. But I like the idea of no longer having to use a URL shortening service to post, you know, links to content. I would rather have the full URL because that's more Google friendly for me and you when you're actually posting stuff on Twitter. Hey, I want to call your attention to TPN Weekly number 60, iPhone 4 Mania. This is the weekly Tech Podcast Network show where one of the members from the network puts together a real short podcast talking about them and some of the content that they're covering in their podcast. This week, it was Buana McCall doing the show from Buana.tv, and he's focusing on the iPhone 4. I have his link up to this in the show notes. Definitely check out Buana's short TPN Weekly number 60. And again, subscribe to the feed over there so you get this every week, and I give you a chance to get linked up to some of the great podcasters over at techpodcast.com. Hey, Robin Good over on masternewmedia.org has an article on wireframing and website prototyping. Now, he's done a number of these over the past week that talks about some of the tools that you can use for wireframing and website prototyping. And this is another great article. I have this link up in the show notes. And this is this particular article focuses on tools that are available for under $150. So pretty cool stuff. And a lot of tools here that I was really not familiar with, but price ranges all the way from $5 a month to, $149. So I have a link up in the show notes to this, and you guys can check it out. Hey, Google, in May, their search engine share dropped to 72%. And I guess I haven't been tracking this very closely. And I know that I'm a stats junkie. I love looking at stats. But Experian and Hitwise announced that Google accounted for 72.17% of all U.S. search conducted in the 4 weeks ending on May 29th. Yahoo Search, Bing, and Ask received 14.43%. 9.23% and 2.4% respectively. So in other words, Yahoo got 14.4, Bing got 9.2, Ask got 2.14, and the remaining 74 search engines in the Hitwise search engine analysis tool accounted for 2.03% of the U.S. searches. So they were up, I guess, from April. They were up a percentage point. Yahoo was down 3%, Bing was down 2%, and Ask.com was down 2%. But they went into a little bit deeper look and actually looking by category. And I thought this was where the action was at. It talks about how Bing is really making a major impact in, specific categories like automotive, health, shopping, and travel. And so I think this is kind of cool. Now, what are you guys using Bing for? I'm watching the traffic to Geek News Central, and I notice Bing is number two, right behind Google for the number of search results and basically people coming in from Bing to Geek News Central. So that's what's important to me. And what are you guys searching on Bing? Hey, one thing, it made me remember, and I should have talked about this earlier in the show, and what really tripped this here, sometimes you read something and go, oh, I forgot to talk about this, was Ask.com. Remember Ask Jeeves? Well, I was listening to an audio interview between Adam Curry at Mevio and Howard Stern. Now, I don't know if you guys listen to Howard Stern or not, but Howard is getting ready for basically contract negotiations. His $500 million five-year deal with Sirius is going to be coming to an end sometime this year, later this fall. And either Howard's looking for a home or, he's basically going to be doing something. And, Howard has got huge. He's got an audience, that's unbelievable. So he was doing an interview with Adam Curry. And, of course, we all know Adam was one of the fathers of podcasting. He built the very first podcatcher, utilizing the enclosure tag that was developed by Dave Weiner over at scripting.com. And basically, this conversation was basically on how Adam had made his money, and I think the story is pretty well known that Adam had sold a company in the dot-com era, in the late 90s, and then had made money on AskJeeves.com and an investment that he'd had. And of course, he has ownership, part ownership in Mevio along with his venture capitalist. But what really blew me away was that Adam offered Howard Stern a position, or in other words, an offer. He offered him $100 million for the first year for Howard Stern to bring the Howard Stern Show to the internet. Now, this, my friends, was a moment that made me go, wow. Now, I'm glad that Curry and his investors have that kind of money to be able to throw out and offer to Howard Stern, because I would absolutely love to have a personality like Howard Stern come and do live internet video and audio streaming, have his stuff all available via podcast. I don't care who it's through. I hope it sets to see if it's Mevio or whoever. I don't care. Because what that would really do is that would be the ultimate social media move of the century, because it would instantly change the dynamic of everything. You know, we have fought with breaking out this media, with getting more advertisers, and you know, there's just this whole plethora of things, of challenges that we've had to go through over the past 5 or 6 years. And while we're making great headway and advertisers spending a lot of money, and it's just, you know, they're having great effect, having a personality like Howard Stern move to the AKA live streaming space is pretty exciting. Now, one thing that did disturb me was that Adam is really distancing himself from the word podcast. He thinks it's a dumb name. He said that, and that kind of made me like, wow, you're calling it a dumb name. And I understand where he's going, because you guys know, based on what I've been doing over the past year, is while the large majority of you listen to this show via podcast, because you're subscribed and you download the show and you listen when you can, you know, time-shifted listening. And that's where, you know, that's, believe it or not, that's what keeps the light on here, folks. You guys downloading the show and listening and providing feedback, that's what pays my bills. The live streaming part of this is because I'm handicapped, because I'm basically streaming live from Honolulu at a ridiculous time, usually for most people that are on the mainland. My streaming impact is not as effective as others are. And I don't know if it would be 100% effective even if I was doing prime time East or West Coast time, because who wants to watch me for an hour and 15 minutes? I don't have a team here doing a bunch of graphics and switching and all the things that make it a little more exciting than just watching me on a camera. But you guys can still download the show and listen. So that's really what pays the bills. And you know, Adam can say what he wants about the new media space or about podcasting not being the great deal, but we're putting one heck of a lot, and I say that with the child safe word, that we're putting one heck of a lot of money in content creators' pockets right now, largely in audio. Maybe 97% in audio, because you're all listening. You're not watching, and you're listening when you can. So while the live streaming is cool, it's fun, and I want to thank those of you that are on Ustream tonight watching up late, that, you know, that is 0.00001% of my audience. You know, it's just a very, very small percentage that's watching. And nothing against that. I love you guys that are on and then you're watching tonight. But for Howard Stern to actually think about this and this seed to be, you know, I know he's got a lot of smart people around him, and I'm sure he's looking at this. But there is money to be made in this space. And I don't know if it will meet Howard's objectives, but there'd be nothing better for him to come on and be live. It would completely change. It would upset the apple cart for sure, because traditional radio folks would really have to sit up and go, because it's not going to be very long. It's not going to be very long. When you buy a car, buy a Ford, you're going to get Pandora built right into the system. And you're going to have 3G service built right into your car radio. And you're not going to have to listen to, you know, 97.1 or 830 AM or whatever station. You're going to be able to listen to what you want to listen to live streamed via the internet. And whether that be pre-recorded audio podcast or streaming music or whatever it is, your cars, where many of you consume this content, it's going to be built in there. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. It really, really is. And it's going to just make the distributions, you know, when millions and millions of automobiles have this ability to actually consume this content on the fly, it's a win. It's a big time win for all of us that create this kind of content. And times are changing, and radio, they should be scared to death. They really, really should. Will it kill them? They're a multi-billion dollar industry. No, radio is not going to get killed by us creating this content, but we will definitely make an impact. We really will. It's going to change the landscape, completely level the playing field, as it has by those of you that are watching a show tonight, or actually watching a show time delayed on the Roku or the Boxy, or those of you watching on Ustream. Ultimately, it levels the playing field for all of us. So it's an exciting time. All right, let's get in back in the content, or I'm going to go wholeheartedly way long. Hey, the French have found email passwords in the Google Street View data. This continues to be an issue. So the examination was carried out by French data protection agency CNIL, and it decides whether to prosecute the search firm for gathering the data. Of course, this data was gathered as Google logged Wi-Fi hotspots to help it develop location-based services. Previously, Google had said there was no harm, no foul in collecting the data. Now this investigation is moving into the United States. Multiple states are looking at this, whether or not they're going to go after Google for capturing this data or not. So only time is going to tell. But I know the international community is not happy, and a lot of state attorney generals are not happy either. The Soyuz, which launched late last week, has docked with the International Space Station, and they're all good to go. Three new crew members have joined the International Space Station. No space tourists this time. Hey, here's a big surprise. Those of you that are Microsoft Messenger fans, go to the iPhone App Store. You can download Microsoft Messenger and load it up there. It's in got two languages, English and French. Must be messengers used big in France. But you can send photos. You can do calls. You can do email with Windows Live Messenger from the iPhone App Store available. Don't know if it costs you any money. It's a 7.2 meg download. And so anyway, that's available and up and online. Hey, I've got a number of emails from folks over the last couple of weeks asking me about travel and cell phones and international and going abroad. All I can say is, you know, when I do international travel, I turn my iPhone off and I don't use it. I rent phones in the countries that I travel to. Usually you can get those at the destination airport, or you can have them delivered previous to you going. I know some of you also asked whether or not it would be a good idea to rent MiFis and that type of stuff on vacation. And I think it's absolutely a great alternative than paying $14 or $20 a day for internet service in a hotel, if they even have it. I know someone's going to a Disney resort where they have no internet. So it's a great, you know, there you can rent Wi-Fi devices or MiFi devices or 3G cards almost anywhere now. You just do a search on the internet, you'll find them. But there's a good article over in Ars Technica talking about some things you need to look out for when you're traveling internationally and with a cell phone, either your own or a rented one, so you don't end up with bill shock. You got to get educated on your products and services that you're using. And the same thing goes with renting devices. You got to make sure you read the rules and make sure you don't bust their bandwidth caps and all that stuff. So I have this link up in the show notes for you. You go to Vegas or any place, you can almost get a wireless device. Now, you have to have them FedExed in. You have it a couple days before you go. You get back, you got to get FedEx back. They put a hold on your credit card. So, you know, this is not necessarily inexpensive. It may be cheap to actually do the rental, but you may have a tap on your credit card for a little bit of money for time until you return the product. So, anyway, I'll put the link up in the show notes on this one article, and then you guys search your options on Google. That's the best place to find rental stuff within cities and states that you're going to. Hey, those of you down under in Australia, congratulations. Australia's made fiber official. No more copper wires ever. Australia is going all in with this government-run fiber network. Government has now convinced the country's dominant telecommunication company, Telstra, to sign on with a scheme. They're going to get rid of its copper and cable lines and transition its subscribers to open access national fiber program. And when this project is complete, Australia will have taken really a leap ahead of everyone else. It's a $43 billion investment in infrastructure within the Australian telecommunications network. So this is big. It really, really is. I don't know what the timeline is for implementation on this, but imagine 50, 100 megabits per second service throughout the entire country. Very, very exciting. Those of you in the UK, I didn't even know this existed. Someone in the UK, fill me in. You guys have contracts for your landline telephones, just like we do for cell phones? Here, I can cancel my landline anytime I want. But the way I'm reading this is the three big landline telephone firms, BT, TalkTalk, and Virgin, have all agreed to make big cuts to the cost of ending their landline telephone contract fees. Is this because it's open competition and you sign a contract just like you do a cell phone? We've got lots of UK listeners. Please give me the 411 on what the deal with this is. But the levy fees are going to be going down. They could be going down as much as from 33 to £2, or from as high as 33 pounds to as little as £2. And the firm agreed to change despite arguing that their fees were not unfair. Says all other landline phone suppliers have been told to follow the example of the big three or face formal action by Ofcom. Ofcom said that they welcome the reduction made by BT, TalkTalk, and Virgin Media, which means that consumers will face much lower charges if they wish to end their contracts early. I didn't even know that was the way things worked in the UK, but I learned something new every day. There's a good article on Bloomberg Business Week talking about Sony's Google TV. I'm not going to go into this article in depth. I'll have this link up in the show notes. For those of you who are looking for more information on what's coming with Google TV, I'll have that linked up there. Hey, Elgato, boy, oh boy, these guys, you know, I've been a big fan of them. They've done a lot of open source cool stuff. They've really thumbed their nose at the community. They've had a great open source community that's helped them with their products. But Elgato's iTV app is now iPad compatible. So this is pretty cool. So the iTV app is now compatible with iPad's high-resolution screen where you can screen live or recorded TV over either Wi-Fi or 3G. In addition, the iTV app is also able to show users a full programmable guide as well as provide the ability to remotely schedule TV show recordings. The universal iPhone/iPad app is available $4.99 through the App Store. Of course, you've got to have this iTV device. So you can check this out at Elgato.com. And let me see if I can find the price of the device. How much did the device cost? It doesn't say, but this looks like a pretty cool deal. And I'm going to have to look at this a lot closer and maybe order one of these up for the house. Hey, what's your Facebook data worth? I'm seeing more and more people that are friends that are following this show, taking my advice and taking a lot of personal information offline. I still am amazed when I go to people's Facebook page and look at their info page and I see their birthday on their info page. Take your birthdays off the info page, folks. All this other data you're putting up there, you're setting yourself up, okay? So get that data off there and limit what you're sharing for these folks that are doing identity theft. But what is your data worth? And it's a pretty good article here at sfgate.com. Basically breaking it down and talking about really what we're given Facebook and all this detailed information and, you know, stuff that we're writing back and forth and cross-linking to friends and so forth. It's a pretty big amount of data. Hey, astronaut and Mercury astronaut John Glenn has basically submitted to the administration and NASA today a 9-page statement which he questioned the decision to retire the space shuttle fleet after 2 or 3 more missions. He's basically saying that shuttles are working extremely well right now. He said that little, if any, money will be saved by canceling the shuttle program, considering all the millions being paid to Russia to ferry U.S. astronauts to and from the International Space Station. He wonders what will happen if a Russian Soyuz rocket fails. He also worries scientific research in orbit will take a hit. We know that the Soviets have been pretty good about, or the Russians have been pretty good about getting back and forth without incident. But I have a tendency to agree. You know, spend the extra money, keep the shuttle fleet up and running until we're ready with a new launch vehicle. You know, with all the cancellations of products with Constellation and everything else, it's like they're going back to the drawing board. So we'll see. Hey, Google has rolled out Google SSL search, in other words, a secure socket layer. In other words, you can do secure searches with Google. Well, apparently schools are not happy about this. Schools have blocked the SSL search capabilities. They only want you going to www.google.com or http /Google.com. They don't want you using HTTPS. So a bunch of schools, not only in the United States, but UK, have restricted SSL traffic so that they want to be able to snoop on the data. They say individuals do not have a right to encrypt their searches on school networks. So this is kind of an interesting twist, isn't it? You would think this would come from some government agency, but I guess schools are somewhat government controlled. So kind of interesting twist there. Last couple articles here, and before I get too long, a coalition has urged FCC to block proposed merger of Comcast and NBC. Today was the last day for submission to the FCC on objections to the merger. And a group made up of media giant Bloomberg, the Writers Guild of America, advocacy groups like Free Press and Media Access Project wrote to the FCC today in a combined document, basically protesting the merger of Comcast and NBC. So I don't know if this is going to help at all, but pretty big list there and a pretty strong coalition of people. So we'll see if the FCC pays attention to this at all. Now, something you shouldn't be surprised about, the telco industry is prepared for telco reform. We know that Congress is ready to get started on the massive process of reforming the telecommunications industry, along with changes to broadband laws. But the telco company are so scared to death, they have hired hundreds of former government officials, ramped up their lobbyists. They are ready to battle. They are ready to write legislation that takes care of them. You know, when you got all this money and you got all these people and all these contacts and you basically buy Congress, you can absolutely be guaranteed that the telco corporations are not going to be hurt by any legislation coming out of Congress. 72%, see here, they've hired 18 former members of Congress to act as lobbyists. A full 72% of telco lobbyists are former employees of federal and government, including the top two former staffers of Senator Jay Rockefeller, who is the chairman of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, who's going to have a role in this. And, it's obvious that they're not real pleased about Congress going in and trying to implement net neutrality regulations. So they're going to have people there helping them draft up the legislation. You know, there's nothing we can do, folks. We can cry and we can whine and we can write and we can complain. And yet, you got money. These folks are going to do everything they can to stop anything that would actually be good from this reform. We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, I'm going to leave you with one last thought before I get into the audio comments. And I want to invoke this for email comments to geeknews@gmail.com. This is about privacy. Let's use a hypothetical here, and maybe some of this has happened to, unfortunately, maybe this has happened to some of you, but let's just say hypothetically, your brother or sister was arrested for a crime. And because they were arrested for a crime, the police department took a DNA sample. does it violate your privacy when they store his or her DNA? So just think about that. They've got your brother or your sister's DNA on file because of a crime, but your DNA is very close to your brother's or sister's. You know, very, very close. And so what happens then? Are you automatically really kind of in the database, in a criminal database, even though you never submitted a DNA entry or, you know, that is the question. What do you guys think? Love to hear you guys' feedback. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the voicemails here. And we're going to go long. Sorry, but it's the way it is. Great show. All right, let me go ahead. This first voicemail, love the chops on this guy. You guys know who he is. Here we go.
Todd, hey, Brian here in Brooklyn. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
This article you read last week about this study that says that net neutrality could lead to devastating job losses and place the nation's economy at greater risk. This was written by two lawyers.
Right.
From New York Law School. They were from the department they called the Advanced Communication Law and Policy Institute. And they just made that one up last week, I guess. But that must be the part of the school where they train the future telecom lobbyists. Yep, written by lawyers, not economists, lawyers. But, you know, of course, that doesn't really matter because the telecom lobby could easily dig up a few economists to tell us how net neutrality would be the end of civilization as we know it. I'm sure they could get a few nutritionalists to tell us how net neutrality is making us fat, or a marriage counselor to explain how it leads to higher divorce rates, maybe a meteorologist to inform us it's responsible for the drought, and that's why the fish aren't biting. No. The oil spill is why the fish aren't biting. But
that's right.
Maybe net neutrality is responsible for the disaster in the Gulf. But my point is, you know, enough lawyers and money can convince a juror that black is white. And you know there's no shortage of money in lawyers with the telecom industry.
That's a fact.
According to the government transparency group Sunlight Foundation, some recently released lobbyist disclosure forms show that 72% of the lobbyists hired by AT&T, Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, National Cable and Telecommunications Association, U.S. Telecom Association have previous government experience. These organizations combined to spend 20.6 million lobbying the Fed in the first quarter of 2010. First quarter. Powerful formal officials include Senator John Brough, Trent Lott. I'm not going to read them all, but you get the general idea.
Just talking
with
about
that kind of money and power, yeah, you could convince just about anyone that black is white and 2 + 2 = 5 or whatever you want it to do.
Yep.
And opponents of net neutrality say that it's a government takeover of the internet. I don't know, but kind of looks like the government's working for the telecoms to me. But this study, it argues that net neutrality is going to take away jobs. Now, they claim that all the growth has been because of deregulation. But, you know, everyone who makes this point fails to mention that basically we have had net neutrality up until now.
Right.
I mean, there's been very few incidents of packet shaping or traffic prioritizing. So I would argue that a neutral internet is what has been responsible for all the growth and job creation. I mean, if the ISPs were shaping traffic to the highest bidder, I don't think innovation would have gotten to where it is today. I mean, how many jobs will be lost when the ISPs implement their version of regulation and start prioritizing traffic? That's the question. How many people does Google alone employ? What happens when the ISPs start steering traffic to their own search engine, which in all likelihood will be some piece of crap AOL type of native service? Comcast, social networking, Verizon's version of Twitter, AT&T's version of Amazon, and podcasts. Did someone say podcast? That's a thing of the past. We don't offer the access to that content. However, with a premium Time Warner account, just an additional $39.99, you will have access to Slime Warner Cablecast, hundreds of great audio programs. If you don't agree with the political tone, sorry, but it's a bargain at that price. But, you know, they may have a point, because no regulation worked really good on Wall Street, or lack of regulation. I'm sure it would do the same for the internet. Aloha.
Hey, Brian, thanks so much for that. And you know, you know, I didn't listen to your audio comment before I started the show tonight. but it actually hit right on really that almost that last article I was talking about at the show about these companies just own all these prior government employees, and they have unfettered access to these committees. You know, they're just going to buy their way through, and, you know, the heck with the rest of us out there. You know, we need to form up and have, you know, our own coalition of government, prior government employees out there looking after us. But sadly, the Joe average citizen in the United States could care less. And they're too worried about, you know, other things going on with their life and with the economy and everything else, which is, you know, taking everyone's, you know, everyone's got their eye off the eight ball here. But, yep, I think you hit the mark right, or hit the nail right on the head. So thanks for your call. Please call back and leave a voicemail anytime. Love to hear your comments and commentary. All right, got a quick one here from Todd, and Todd was one of the Ohana members that came out for our meetup in Rochester. So Todd, here's the comments for that.
Hi, Todd. It's Todd Washburn in Rochester, New York.
Hey.
And I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for treating Sal and myself to dinner at the Dinosaur Barbecue on Friday night for the Rochester meetup.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry there wasn't more of a turnout from your Rochester fans. I'm sure that was
good.
A bit disappointing for you. But on a selfish note, that gave Sal and myself more quality talk time with you. And I really enjoyed being able to chat on more of a personal level like that. I very much enjoyed the opportunity to listen to you talk more about how you take care of the business end of business and some of the things that go on behind the scenes. Like I said the other night, it's very impressive to me what you've been able to pull off with such a small number of people. You're a smart, savvy businessman, and at the risk of sounding corny or anything, it was really inspirational to me to hear you share some of the stories that you shared, from moving product to managing resources and the very self-confident image you put forth both about yourself and your business. Maybe to you, you're just doing what any good businessman does, but to someone like me who has yet to find any real success in personal business venture, it was in some ways like going to school. So thank you for sharing, and I appreciate that. Speaking of sharing, I am really excited about the future plans you have about expanding on your podcast presentation in terms of certain details you're working on that you shared with Sal and myself that I know you can't quite talk about on the show yet for obvious reasons. It just sounds like something that can really be good for the show and bring a lot to the business end of things in general. I really hope things work out as you envision in that department. And next time you're in Rochester, I'd like to meet up again, circumstances permitting. And hopefully there'll be more of a turnout next time. Thanks again, Todd. Keep up the great work with the show. And aloha from Ra-Cha-Cha.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Todd, for calling in. And, you know, when we do these meetups, there's time to talk a little more in detail about things that I've got going on. And we're in a small, it's not like, you know, 125 or 150,000 people are listening, like are listening right now, you know, to the recorded portion of this show. When I have a couple people where I can talk and we can, you know, I can say, you guys are not going to tell anybody what I'm going to tell you, right? We can talk and I get some feedback and ideas. This is the advantage of coming out to these meetup folks. You really get the insider story. But I'm going to be sharing some of that data within the actual Geek News Central Insider. Now, I have to be careful on how much I share really on the insider, because once it goes recorded and it's put down in a format that can be shared externally with someone else, I have to be kind of careful. But I'm glad you liked what kind of I have in the vision plan and what's moving forward, Todd. And we'll share with the rest of the Ohana as soon as possible. And I've shared some of that information with some of the folks here in Hawaii on what I'm going to be doing, and working with some, hopefully with some folks here to make that vision really move forward. So I know I'm talking in tongues here to the rest of you guys, because you're like, what in the world has he got cooking now? But it's always about moving the bar forward. And that's what, you know, I try to look ahead for this show now 2 to 5 years in advance and where I want to be. And not just this show, but working with the other content creators we work with at Raw Voice and doing what we do with the business there. So maybe at some point I can do a little more in-depth on the actual Geek News Central Insider to a little smaller audience. And that's one of the advantages of becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. So thanks, Todd. Thanks, Sal, for coming out for dinner. Hey, small crowds are good. And being up there in upstate New York, yeah, the audience members are spread across the country. And every Friday night's not the best night to have a meetup, because that's when most people go to dinner with their families or just want to kick back and have a few beers and watch a TV or a movie or something. So it's understandable. So no issue whatsoever on audience size. Okay, let's go ahead and get into, boy, let me look at the, yeah, the time is nuts. Real quick here, Robert, got your info for the Android app. We'll be in touch with you. Brian, thanks for your voicemail. Peter, hey, Todd, love the show. He says, I have a suggestion on your show notes. Could you make the links open to new windows? Really what I do is I cut and paste right from the blog. So I understand what you wanted to do. That is really kind of the way we've set that up. And I'll look at maybe if I can add something in a, as a process to make it so that they would open up in new windows each time. But thanks for your suggestion. Sam, thanks for your contest entry on the live broadcast page. Near, I know you've had some issues at GoDaddy. And I guess my suggestion to you is, and I know the challenge you're having is because you're in Israel and you're trying to deal with email support, get on Skype and call them. And that's sometimes the best way to do it. And if you're having problems with a PHP file, remember that when you're on a shared hosting account, sometimes it's a little more different to get them, or it's a little more difficult to get them to change something that would be maybe default for a variety of sites. And I don't know if that's the case, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm forwarding this over to my contact there. And hopefully we'll get some response from you from their tech staff. But yeah, their boilerplate response is are not good. And but my suggestion is to call them on the phone, ask to be kicked to a higher tier of service. If you can call them on Skype, they're open 24 hours a day as far as tech support goes. So, you know, Skype call is probably the easiest way to get through to them and, you know, and kick them in the butt. If they don't do what they're supposed to do, then my contact at the top of the pile there, GoDaddy, wants to know about it. But I'll be emailing his your frustrations to him, and hopefully we'll get you some resolution to this. And that's part of my promise is of them being a sponsor of this show. If you're having an issue, I want to know about it, and we'll publicly talk about it. And I will blast it up the food chain, and I'll provide feedback on the response they made to your issue. That's what it's all about, being part of the Ohana here. So we'll get this up to them near. I've got an email here from Trucker Tom talking about Music of the Sun recorded by scientists. And I saw this as an article tonight. I know Tom had submitted it to me, so I'll have this link up in the show notes. But Music of the Sun recorded by scientists, they basically took resonant frequencies off of the magnetic lines of flux off the sun, and it's pretty cool. You'll have to check it out. Terrence sent me a great chart of space exploration over the last 50 years. When you guys see this image, I think you'll really like it. I got an email from Mike on show number 585. He said, Todd, was just watching on my Roku show 585 from Rochester, which has the 716 area code when I grew up there, but the new area code was added. We talked about comments from Roku viewers on quality of the mobile studio. I agree the graphics are blocky on there. The video did have some digital artifacts, but I don't know if that's because of the mobile studio or the bandwidth from the hotel. Hope you liked the barbecue at Dinosaur. Did you get to Nick's for garbage plate? I had garbage plate, not at Nick's, somewhere else. And yeah, it definitely is the garbage plate. I think what happened there is, Mike, is that the video that I send to the Roku when I'm on the road is from a different processor that I normally use, or process that I use. So I'm going to go back and look at the source video. You shouldn't have seen choppiness, because that doesn't come from the stream. It's actually a file that's actually recorded to the hard drive when I'm doing the events mobile. I'm going to get that fixed and find out what's going on. But thanks for the feedback. That's exactly what I wanted. Got an email here from Sal. Hey, Todd, thanks again for the great meal and meet up here in Rochester. I had a great time geeking out for 3 hours. Look forward to hearing your take on the next show. Aloha, regards, Sal. Sal, thanks for the email. And thanks for hanging out with us. It was fun, and I had a great time with you guys. Got an email here from Jeffrey. He said, hey, Todd, just listen to your show. Have you tried live.com instead of Hotmail? Honestly, I haven't used Hotmail in years, Jeffrey, and I'm familiar with live.com. He says, I'm testing it now. If you have time to go get your name before someone else does, maybe you'll have better luck. I never liked the name Hotmail. I think it sounds like cold mail or cheesy mail. Anyway, I just woke up not long ago, and I had to go to the hospital yesterday on the 17. It never ends for spinal injury complications, i.e. we need social media support, not pity from anyone and everyone. Please don't forget about us, especially the wounded soldiers coming home paralyzed and scared. And absolutely. And Jeffrey, having been having spinal injury myself in 2004, believe me, I don't forget about our soldiers or airmen, Coast Guardmen, and you know, so forth. They definitely need our support. Got an email from Mason. This is the last email for tonight. Actually, one more after this, maybe two more. I don't know if you have time to answer me, but a quick question that I know you're more than qualified to answer. Next month, we're going on vacation. I'm trying to decide on renting a MiFi for the week or dealing with hotel bandwidth for the week. I know some hotels have good bandwidth, but I haven't found one yet. Get the MiFi. You'll have, and just make sure that they got good 3G service in the area you're going, or even WiMAX. So you'll have no problem, Mason, if you rent one. But check the coverage area of where you're going and look at it on a street level based on where you're staying. Have you guys seen this? There's a working lightsaber. This is the real deal. I'll have it up in the show notes. And I don't know if I read this on the last podcast or not, but Jeremy sent me an email. Said, I didn't see anything about this on any of your recent shows. He said, it looks like HP may be delivering Target ads to its email-enabled printers. My concern is that there may be no way to connect these printers to a network to not receive these ads, which wastes ink and paper. If this is the case, those printers are useless for schools and business. Jeremy, I can't believe that they would do that. I think they would be shooting themselves in the foot on those devices. So if I covered that in the last show, I apologize. Kind of lost the marker there on where I was at last. We're way long. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Everyone take care. We'll see you back here Friday or Thursday night for the live show. Everyone take care and aloha.